So the beginning of this topic is basically, you know, based on the Gemara and the Torah, really. Let's start with the Torah, I guess. It's not on the sheet, but just, you guys all know this, right? How many days does the Torah say to keep for Pesach, or for Sukkot, let's say? Okay, altogether, how long is Pesach? 7 days is Pesach. Good. How long is Shavuos?
One
day, right? How long is Sukkot?
Seven. Plus Shmini Atzeres.
Excellent. So 7 days of Sukkot plus 1 day of Shmini Atzeres. Very good. So the question is, and you guys probably all know this, but let's just go through the sources. Where did we get the idea of what's called Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliot? Okay, the second day in the diaspora. Where did it come from?
Like they weren't always sure exactly which the day was, because something to do with the moon, maybe. Because it was all down to
our method. Oh, excellent.
It took longer to transport.
Okay, good.
People tried to, then the goyim, whatever, they realized how we would send the signals, so good, then they would try and mix things up.
Excellent, okay, great.
Could it be like light and fire?
Yes, okay, so we'll see it in just a second. Very good, you guys got it. So let's just start at the beginning, okay? What is the date of Yom Tov? Let's say, we'll take Shavuos actually is not a good example, because Shavuos might be based on the Sefira HaOmer, which is not, we don't even know which day Shavuos was. That's actually a machlokas in the Gemara. Shavuos is supposed to be the sixth day of Sivan or seventh day of Sivan. We hold a certain way, but because it's based on when they left Egypt, Shavuot might not be a good example. Pesach and Sukkot are the two best examples to deal with for this. Okay, so we'll leave Shavuos out of this for now. So how do they know which day was Pesach? Meaning, how do they know which day was Tetvav Nisan? Oh, exactly. It was based on Rosh Chodesh. Okay, Rosh Chodesh, of course, is the first day of the month. And once you know what the first day of the month is, then you can go and count what day is the 15th day of the month. What day is Tetvav Nisan? Great. How did they decide which day was Rosh Chodesh? What do they need? Excellent. So at the time, what they needed to have, and this is, and all the Mishnayos talked about this, they needed to have two witnesses come to Yerushalayim and testify in front of the Sanhedrin and say, we saw, what do we see? We saw the new moon. Okay, we saw a little sliver of moon in the sky. And the court starts saying, do they just believe him?
No, they
start asking, well, where did you see the moon? What time was it? What did it look like? And the witnesses, maybe they just wanted to get a lot of cover. They wanted to be famous. They wanted to be stars. So you could see that somebody might have come and tried to make something up. Of course you are. No, I don't think they probably had a celebration with them. They proclaimed that they went on TV. They didn't have TV, but it's true. No TV back then, but whatever. So you can understand. So anyway, they had to examine the witnesses very carefully. Once they decided which day was Rosh Chodesh, then they knew that was going to be the first day of the month. Now, how many days could Rosh Chodesh have been? Meaning, how many possible days could it have been? Would you say?
One or two.
Good. So meaning, actually, let me rephrase it. How many possible days out of the month could have potentially been Rosh Chodesh? Could it have been any single day of the month? No. Okay, the moon cycle, of course, gets bigger and gets smaller. The bottom line is there's only 2 days that the Rosh Chodesh could be. Okay, it's either every month is how many days? Either 30 days or 29 days. Very good. Okay, why is that? I don't know why that is. We're not going to go into this now, but no.
The moon cycle.
Exactly right, the moon cycle. What about it? Every moon cycle, astronomically, is approximately 29.57. I don't remember exactly how much it is, but it's roughly 29 and a half days. Okay, meaning the moon cycle means the moon gets bigger, the moon gets smaller, based on how we see it in the sky, right? Based on the orbits around the Earth.
The sun, 365 and a quarter days.
Yes.
That's how
leap is. Yeah, you're right. Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what leap is. Correct. Right. So the moon also has 29 and a half days.
No,
I think it's 365.
And then 1 year we have 366 days.
No, yeah.
Every day, yeah. Every year we need 365 and a quarter.
I think so. Yeah, I think it's 365 and a quarter. I think. You have to check. I think so. Pretty sure. Anyway, so how do you have 29 and a half days? Okay, fine. Maybe you're right.
I learned that in ninth grade. In ninth grade,
all right. I think you're right, but whatever. So anyway, how are you going to have half a day? Okay, if each month is 29 and a half days, how do you have half a day? How does that work? So what's the answer? So basically what happened was every month there was a question of which day the witnesses would see the moon the first time. Okay, could be either on the 30th day of the month, or what would have been the 31st day of the month, which would be the first day of the next month. Okay, so it could be either one because it's somewhere, the estimate is somewhere in the middle. So depending on when the witnesses saw, that day became Rosh Chodesh. Great. And that's how Rosh Chodesh. Now, based on that, then they knew that, let's say, this day will be Rosh Chodesh. 15 days later, Tevav Nisan will be Pesach. What was the problem? So the problem was that in those days they didn't have nice cars and buses and trains and planes, right? How do you get from one place to the other? What's wrong with buses? Okay, I'm sorry. Cars. Cars. What? They didn't have cars. How did they get
the light rail? I approve.
Okay, fine. The light rail is not going to get you outside of your Yerushalayim, so that's not going to help very much. Okay, communities. No, they have to. Okay, trains. Right, like trains. Southern Israel, northern Israel, even people that live a little bit farther into what's today a little bit of Syria, maybe even Babylonia. How did they get to these places?
They walked.
Okay, maybe they took a donkey, maybe a camel, maybe a horse once
rich,
in a while.
You had a camel.
Okay, right. Camels were good. But the problem is, how long does it take to walk to, let's say, some of the Jewish communities, for example, in, let's say, in Babylonia? More than a couple days, even. I think it could take even a couple weeks. Okay. So how are they? How are the people in Babylonia, or even how long does it take to walk to the northern Israel, to the Lebanese border? And in those days, they probably lived in parts of southern Lebanon. How long does it take to walk there?
Because it's like Yom Liyam from that side to that side.
That's 3 days, right? I know. Say again. Right. So if you go from, let's say, Jerusalem to, let's say, southern Lebanon, into what's probably takes about 2 weeks, right? So wasn't so simple. Okay. What? Yeah. Okay. Good. So the problem was that it was hard for them. It was hard for them to get, to walk to all these places in time. So the truth is that they didn't do that. Originally they did. They lit. Remember? They lit fires, right? Or torches. Look at the source number one. Mishnah says, "Barishon ayu masim masuot." They had torches. A torch ceremony. Okay. How did they do that? Okay. They lit on one hilltop. They would light a bonfire, and then what happens? You guys know this.
The next hilltop would see it, and then everybody would see it.
Now, how is it possible to see from one hilltop till another hilltop? Who knows, 30 miles away. They're very big. If you guys go in Israel today, okay, even in Israel today when there's lights out, if you go out to let's say the Negev or even near where I live, okay, there's plenty of open space there. And even near Yerushalayim, okay, if you go out and you lit a bonfire on top of the next hill, would you be able to see it?
Yeah.
You definitely would. And you can see things very far away. If there's not much light around, you can really see till at least, 10, 20 miles, 30 kilometers, whatever, if there's nothing else there. The proof is also, by the way, when you drive on some of these roads at night, driven on Israel, you guys were in the north last week, driving on Israeli roads at night, it's pitch black, right? There's no lights in most of these places. You can see a car lights from many, many, all the way down the road, all the way down there, you can already see car lights if there's nothing else around. So you can understand that they went pretty fast, probably. I mean, they stayed up, for a couple hours at that night, and they started lighting bonfires, and they went all the way anywhere that there were Jews nearby, within a significant distance that they could see the bonfire. The bonfires went pretty well. Okay, the problem was, as you said, mishakilkalu hakutim itzkinush yoshluchim yotzim. When the kutim were people that didn't always believe in Torah Shabbat, at least for everything. So what did they start to do? They wanted to mess us up. What did they do? They started lighting their own bonfires when they felt it was going to be Rosh Chodesh. So of course people got confused. So what did they decide to do after that point? Then they decided to send out the messengers, right? The messengers started to go out. The problem was that the messengers could not get to all the distant places in enough time for them to know what day Yom Tov was, right? So what were they going to do? What should they do? If the messenger hadn't yet come to southern Lebanon or to Babylonia or whatever, how were they supposed to know which day of Yom Tov to keep, which day was the first day of Pesach? They knew it was going to be one of 2 days, but they didn't know which one. So what did they do, Talia? Which day?
Keep both.
Good. Look at source number two.
So
eventually the messengers will get there, but the point was that a lot the Pesach and Sukkot are on the 15th of the month. The messengers would not necessarily get there in time. Okay, they would only get there afterwards. So look at source number two. This is the Rambam in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh. He says,
shouldn't that be for every single month? Because there are some months that we keep wondering.
You're right, but the question is, there's no other holidays. Again, maybe Hanukkah would be a question. Hanukkah is a good question, but that's an excellent question. Okay, so Shana asks a great question. What?
Everyone has 2 days.
Okay, so that's a great question. There's a lot of discussion about Rosh Hashanah, which we're not going to go into now, but basically, there's a reason why, according to most opinions, here in Israel, do we keep 2 days on Rosh Hashanah?
Yes.
We do. The main reason why is because even in Israel, they couldn't get to all the places in time. And even the day itself, basically what happened was, on the day of, let's say, what might have been Rosh Hashanah, they had to wait until witnesses came and testified about the new moon. They didn't know whether the day was going to be Rosh Hashanah or not. In the middle of the day, up till a certain time in the afternoon, witnesses could come and say, we saw the new moon last night, And the Beit Din said, okay, today's Rosh Hashanah, guys. Get the shul. Get moving. Go pull that shofar, right? It's a little strange, right? It's actually very confusing on how that works. What'd you say?
Messengers don't get
stuff. Good question. Okay, they probably did not have all the parts that we have of davening today. They probably didn't have all the parts. They had some of the parts. Okay.
No. But that.
But you're right. But it wasn't Rosh Hashanah until the Beit Din said it was Rosh Hashanah. Already by the time of the Rishonim, and even maybe at the time of the Gemara, they already were keeping 2 days of Rosh Hashanah because it was too complicated. They couldn't do it. So basically, they already knew the 2 days which could be Rosh Chodesh. They just said both days are Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah. Okay. But.
That's according to most opinions. There is one opinion in the Rishon that in Israel it's different, but that's what most people. Yes.
So they would keep 2 days of Rosh Chodesh because they didn't know which day, from Yerushalayim,
right?
Whatever. But there are months that we keep only 1 day of Rosh Chodesh. We don't keep 2 days of Rosh Chodesh.
Yeah. So again, we didn't get there yet. Okay, we're historically holding right now in the time of the the Mishnah and the Gemara. Okay, early Gemara. Okay.
At that point, did they know that every month we have 21 or 30 days?
Yeah, it's in the Gemara. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah has
31 days. Shouldn't they know it's automatically Rosh Chodesh?
Yeah, that's the point, though. I mean, they didn't know whether the 30th day or the 31st day was going to be Rosh Chodesh. That was the question.
But
one of which of those 2 days would
go
be?
30 days and nobody came as witness.
I see. So then it's the second day, and they already know by the end they're gonna basically declare that next day is Rosh Chodesh. But really, it's supposed to be done by witnesses.
Okay. I feel like anybody could just come. But that's the thing, if nobody witnessed it, what if it's a cloudy day?
Again, right, that's a good question. So they talk about this. We're not going to go into this now. They're in Masechet Rosh Hashanah and the Gemara, they have a lot of discussion about these things. But it was assumed that somebody somewhere saw the moon. And if not, then at the end of the day, that day is going to be, the second day is going to be the first day of the month.
They can't declare Hashanah without witnesses.
It's supposed to be by witnesses, but again, good. Okay, if we had another 2 hours and I had prepared the source sheet of a second Rosh Hashanah, we would go through a lot more sources about it. But
unfortunately,
you also know. I know what you meant. Yeah.
So why do we still keep 2 days? Like,
why do we still keep? Oh, so we're getting there. Very good. Okay, we are getting there. Just give me another minute or two. Okay, a few minutes. All right. Here we go. Thanks. Okay, so here we go. So the Rambam says, look at source number 2. The Rambam says, "Kol makom shayu shluchim magin hayu osenes hamoados yom tov echad kaketuv b'Torah." Any place that the messengers would reach, okay, before Yom Tov. So how many days of Yom Tov would they keep? 1 day. And places that are far away that the messengers couldn't get to in time, they would make 2 days, because they weren't sure. Because they didn't know which day was Rosh Chodesh according to the Beit Din, Eze Yom, which day it was. Now, okay, before we get to the question of Bizman Hazen, before we get to the question of, keeping 2 days and knowing the calendar, making the calendar, according to the Rambam here, what's going on? Okay, where exactly were the places that they knew in time, where were the places they didn't know in time? Think about today, okay? Today, who keeps 1 day? People that live where? In Israel. Who keeps 2 days? People that live? Okay, is that what the Rambam's saying here?
No.
So how do you understand the Rambam?
Maybe they started from kind of like Jerusalem.
Okay.
And then, even like today, technically speaking, like the Lebanon or Eilat or wherever they keep 2 days, they're like, they're further out places. The places that are probably like more reasonable, reasonable distance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. So you want to say basically that in Israel they kept 1 day, or they didn't keep one day in Israel, or did it depend on where in Israel was?
In the center of biblical Israel.
Huh. Okay. But in the north and the south, you would say maybe not.
Right.
Okay.
And still today. Maybe.
So good. So the Rambam, you're correct. The Rambam here seems to say that it doesn't matter directly what's in Israel, what's not in Israel. It seems to be that the Rambam held that the base for keeping 1 or 2 days was dependent on how far it was. Okay, which means you could conceivably have, let's say, there was a Jewish community in, let's say, in Jordan, which probably didn't exist, but let's say right across the border into Jordan there was a Jewish community. All right. So that was much faster to get to probably than the north part of Israel. So in that place, you would probably keep 1 day, according to the Rambam, because of the fact that they would find out within the 15 days, they would find out which day was Rosh Chodesh. It would be fine. And yet there may be some places in Israel, all the way in the south or all the way in the north, that maybe could be they didn't know in time.
So
in which case, maybe those places would keep 2 days.
So
yeah.
What they would do after 29 days, they would keep the 30th day and the first day?
No, in terms of Rosh Chodesh, they wouldn't know which day Rosh Chodesh was, but by the time it came time for Yom Tov, they would automatically assume. They would assume that.
By the time
it
came Yom Tov, they would know. A messenger would get to them by that and say, this is when Yom Tov is.
Correct.
But in terms of Rosh Chodesh and whatever, they can, they, since they know the messenger's not going to get to them,
right,
they assume after the 29th day to keep the 2 days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, they'll already assume
that. They keep the 30th on the first day rather than the 1st and the 2nd day because they don't know if it's 29 day.
Yeah, I guess that, yeah, but I mean, the thing is really more which day is the first day of the month, okay?
Yeah,
I mean, we have Rosh Chodesh.
How do they keep 2 days of Rosh Chodesh if they don't know when Rosh Chodesh is?
So they didn't keep,
that's what I'm
again,
saying. That's
they probably did,
the
they probably didn't keep, I don't think they kept 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. They probably kept, you know, they didn't keep any Rosh Chodesh, meaning they didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was, so they wouldn't really do anything. What I'm saying basically is that they didn't say, today's Rosh Chodesh, we're Halal and Musaf. They probably wouldn't be able to do that because they didn't know. Anyway, nobody said Halal in those days. It was a custom that came later. But the point is, the only effect is when it gets time for Yom Tov. When it gets time for Yom Tov, then they say we're keeping 2 days
which
of Yom Tov.
Yom Tov is?
Again, Pesach and Sukkot, and probably Shavuos. Though Shavuos again is a little different.
I'm saying,
yeah,
but those are also like the Shalosh Regalim.
Yeah, that's the point. Again,
they're
Hanukkah.
Probably
you guys
traveling before then, right?
Who's traveling?
People are traveling to the Yerushalayim.
Oh, so that's true. But the thing is, by the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, there was no temple anymore, so they weren't all traveling. You understand? Okay, the traveling stopped. I mean, some people traveled, but it was not everybody came.
Aren't
after
the messengers, they sent like fat, so there were times when it would take longer than 15 days for them to.
Yeah, that's the point. So that's why that's why a lot of those places kept 2 days. According to the Rambam, it doesn't matter where they are, though. As long as they didn't get there in time, then they kept 2 days.
Oh, they didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was, so they didn't know when you're fine.
But yeah, so they have, for Yom Tov, they got to be machmir. We got to treat these 2 days, 15th day and the 16th day, as both being Yom Tov, and the 20, whatever, the second half of
the
7th day.
It's more like the 14th and the
15th. No, the 15th and. Well, again, whatever it is, but basically it would be the date that based on the previous month they would be the 15th day and the 16th day. Okay, according to the other opinion, which is not on the sheet, the Ritva, because the Ritva has another opinion, you know what he says? He says that it doesn't have to do with how far it was. He said they made a rule that basically in Israel they kept 1 day, and he assumes that basically in Israel usually they knew which day it was, and outside of Israel they kept 2 days. Even if they knew in time, they still kept 2 days. Okay, and he understood the way that it worked was a little bit different. Again, the Ritva lived in like the 15th century or so, 14th century. So, according to the Ritva, he said basically people in Israel generally knew which day it was, and that's why they kept 1 day. And outside of Israel, they often did not know when it was. So therefore, everybody outside of Israel kept 2 days.
So was it because of how far away they
were? Was it?
Is the geography based on how far?
Correct. Yeah. So today, basically, we generally follow the Ritva today in terms of our understanding. Meaning today, we don't say, well, because somebody lives in the Golan, so in the Golan, it could be the messengers didn't get there in time, so therefore today, people in the Golan should keep 2 days. We don't say that. We say, probably, anybody know how many days people in the Golan keep? You guys are just there, right?
They keep one day.
So, assuming the Golan is part of Israel, which is actually a whole discussion, we're not going to get to that now.
The Golan is discussion?
Assuming the Golan is part of Israel, then they should keep 1 day, according to the Ritva. According to the Rambam, maybe not, but we follow the Ritva.
What?
Oh, so I'll ask you another question. This is very close to my heart, obviously, because
part of Israel, part of Israel today.
Part of Israel, not today, but part of Israel in the time of the Second Temple, I guess when.
So is that about people in Eilat?
Oh, so here's the question. So the truth is actually it's not so simple. So my relatives, actually my sister-in-law and brother-in-law live in Eilat. All right. Guess how many days of Yom Tov they keep?
One.
But guess who keeps 2 days in Eilat? A whole group of Jews. What? No, Chabad Burger, how'd you know that? Oh, really? Interesting. So, yes, so Chabad and
they also pass out clean their light fixtures.
They do what?
They
I see. Okay. So, there's a lot of Chabad and light. You know what? There's a lot of Chabad and light. There's a lot of Kier things on there. A lot of people that can do some Kier. So the big picture on the Chabad house in Eilat, it's a big, big building. A big, big picture of the Rebbe all over, you know. He's looking at you when you pass by. My brother-in-law lives not far from there. You have to drive right past their building. Anyway, so they keep 2 days in a lot. Why do they say to keep 2 days in a lot?
Israel.
No, that's not the right answer. The right answer is because the Rebbe said so. The right answer is because the Rebbe said so. Question is, why did the Rebbe say so? Why did the Rebbe say so? So the answer is a lot really part of Israel?
Not part of Israel,
no.
Depends. Okay, it's not so clear. Again, I wish we had more time we could go into this more. I'll just give you the short version. The question is, what are the southern borders of Israel? There's two aspects to this, okay? In the Second Temple period, did they live in a lot?
No.
They didn't. Okay, so Second Temple, which is a lot often what we look at, they didn't live in a lot. They lived somewhere, I don't know where they lived, Beersheba maybe, something like that. The question is, according to the Torah, where is the southern part of Israel according to the Torah? Anybody know? Doesn't say that. We don't really know exactly where it is. That's the problem. So maybe if you look at the other Chumash here,
there's a Tanakh right here.
I have one here. If you want to look, it's basically at the end of Parshat Maaseh, right? The Sefer Bamidbar. So they say here, okay, here. So it says that it says here the Torah describes the borders of the land of Israel. It says that the border from the west should go the Nesamachem Agbumi Negev L'Male Akrabim. It should go to Male Akrabim, Avar Tzina, and go past Tzina, and then go to Negev and Kardesh Barnea, and then go to Chatzar Adar and Atzmona. Okay. So basically, the question is, right, where exactly are these places? Okay, so if you look at this map, this is an article map, so it's obviously not meant to be very precise. Can anybody see this? Can you see this here? See what this is? Anybody see this? That's the Dead Sea over here. Okay. The Mediterranean Sea is here. This is already part of Egypt. So where are these places? Okay. So he says, according to a lot of the Rishonim, they say that Male Akrabim is either here or here. Chatzar Adar and Atzmona are over here. Okay, now where is that today? Where would you guess this is? Somewhere today. Can anybody see, based on where the Dead Sea is and the Mediterranean Sea, where would you say this is?
West Bank. Jordan.
No.
Negev.
Dead Sea is here. Can
I
get your... I'm so sorry. I wish I... If you want to pass it around, here's the Dead Sea. This is the east. This way over here is the east. That's Jordan. This is Israel. Okay.
Yes,
this is somewhere in the Negev. Can anybody ever done any Tulim in the Negev?
Yeah.
Yeah? So if you even not that far south in the Negev, there's a place in the Negev. Basically, you guys know where Dimona is, sort of?
Yeah.
Okay, so according to a lot of calculations, this is not so far from Dimona. Let's say Dimona would be like over here somewhere. There's actually a place there that says that's called Tzin. Okay, which is similar to this Tzin. I don't know if it's exactly the same place. But this is not that much farther. See, this is the end of the Dead Sea over here. Okay? And Male Akrabim is not that far, it's not that far south from there. So this is basically that, maybe 30 kilometers south of Dimona and a little bit to the east, something like that. It looks like this. According to that, the whole bottom of the Negev, including a lot, is not part of Israel.
Whole Negev?
Most of it. So what do you do?
Yeah, because you're in 1948.
Yeah, so what do you do? We got it in 1948. Yeah, what do you do? So in a lot, how do they all keep one day? How do they do it? They're going against the halacha. What's going on here? Just because they're Israeli means they can keep one day? Now again, understand, we said before that according to the Ritva, you keep one day if you're in Israel. But the problem was you define Israel based on the way it was defined halachically in the Torah. And not necessarily based on what the modern state of Israel has to say about it.
But that means if you're like, because like obviously the biblical borders of Israel are like a lot bigger than they are now. So if I'm spending, like if I'm spending Chag in like some random country that isn't actually Israel, should I be keeping one day?
Maybe.
No.
Maybe. It could be. It's not so clear. Where are you going to go, Talia?
Okay,
Talia.
Lebanon? It would only be
all right, fill me in. Southern Lebanon is an interesting place to spend your time. I'm not sure if I would want to go there. We have some friends, but if you went, I'm saying maybe you had some friends. I don't know.
No,
you don't know. You're not close. You're not like this with Hezbollah. No,
not quite.
You're
getting. When you go to the border, you can literally see the Hezbollah.
It's really scary, right?
You can see the gold dome and the mosque, and then there's like a massive black building.
It's really scary. I actually know somebody I met once is who they're Orthodox. I think they live in L.A.
Yeah.
And they said that their son once became a journalist. I think at one point he wasn't, maybe he was from, he wasn't, I don't know. Apparently, he spent a couple of years living in Beirut. Can you believe it? And they were telling me like these stories that he went to Beirut, that he had to go to Israel, but he couldn't go from Beirut, obviously, he had to go all the way around. He spent time in Egypt. It was really interesting. So that was the story. Anyway, so what's the answer? So the answer is, some people say Male Akrabim means a different way, a different place. Okay, Rav Sadigon says Male Akrabim is also known as Akaba. You know what Akaba is?
No.
Anybody heard of Akaba? Okay, has anybody ever been to Eilat?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, did you notice there's another city next to Eilat?
No.
Never noticed?
Yeah.
You noticed. Okay, if you look down from Eilat, you look across. Look across from Eilat, there's another city there. But it's not in Israel. Where is it?
Egypt.
Other direction. Egypt, you can't see cities from there. You can see Sinai, but...
Yeah. I know.
No, it's not in Israel. It's in Jordan. All right, it's also a resort city. It's a resort town. In Jordan.
Okay, it used to be Israeli. All the resorts there.
There are, so no, I think that's...
That's, I'm talking about Sinai, never mind.
Yeah, you're talking about Sinai, that's the other direction, right.
Is that over the border?
Yeah, but this is towards Jordan, this is on the east. But you could see it, in Eilat, you can see the other part of the city that goes around around the Red Sea there.
Okay. You like Eilat?
I like
you like the work, it's very nice.
Uh-huh.
I got this place. Okay.
I only went to Eilat when I came here, not only because of the border.
Yeah, whatever. So we don't go to visit. We don't go to the hotels. That's interesting. Yeah. We go visit like the residential areas. That's where my brother-in-law, sister-in-law live. We just go to the, I hear. If you want to, I'll give you a phone number. Anyways, what's that city called? This is a Jordanian city. Anyone know what it's called?
Akaba.
Very good. It's called Akaba. So some people say, according to Rav Sadigon, maybe Aqaba today, the Jordanian city, is really the bottom, the southern border of Israel. In which case, maybe Eilat is included in Israel. And based on that, Rav Sadia go, and that's where some posts come to say, that's what everybody follows today. You can keep one day in Eilat. Okay?
Yeah.
Yes. Bottom line is that's what everybody does except for Chabad. But that's what it's based on. It's based on that one thing. Okay? So that's a story that was included in Israel at the time. But again, you know, according to the Ritva, the bottom line is anything that was included in Israel at the time, you keep one day, and anything that was in Chutz La'aretz, we keep 2 days. That's what we follow. Okay, any questions so far? We're good? Okay. All right, so now, basically, the question is going to be the following, all right? At what point did the calendar change? Meaning, when did the calendar become a set calendar? So the answer is, at some point, they basically what they call Hillel HaNasi or Hillel HaSheni. So he was one of the, you know, the Amoraim in the time of the Gemara. So he basically came along and made a whole calculation of the calendar for every year. His name was Hillel HaNasi, or Hillel HaSheni, two names. Okay, not the Hillel that you guys know about. It's a different Hillel, not the same one. Okay? Correct. No, not that Hillel. This one is in the Gemara, okay? It's the time of Rava, a few generations later. So he made a whole calculation of the calendar, which basically lasts, you know, forever. It was supposed to be, you know, it goes back on itself every, you know, who knows how many years. And based on that, they were able to decide every month and every year when Rosh Chodesh would be without relying on messengers, etc., etc., etc. Okay? That's basically what they, how things transferred over when it became too difficult to have messengers come all the time and, you know, whatever it was. That's what became. Okay? So basically, once that took place in the middle of the Gemara period, so now everybody knew exactly when the when Rosh Chodesh was going to be, and everybody knew exactly when Yom Tov was going to be. So now the question you need to ask, of course, is what?
Why is that? Why do we still keep 2 days?
Right. Who needs 2 days? We all know.
Yeah. This is one of the things that's never going to change.
Yes. The question is, what's the basis? Being, why did the Gemara say that they shouldn't change? Now you should know, by the way, which Jews today keep 1 day even in Chutz La'aretz? Which group of Jews? No, not Chabad. No, they might believe in the Rebbe's Shia, but they don't keep 2 days. They don't keep 1 day of Yom Tov in Chutz La'aretz. What? Excuse me? No. Well, yeah, certain sect of Jews that came from Germany originally. No. I'll give you a hint, not Orthodox. Okay.
Karaites, I'm telling you.
Reform. Karaites maybe.
Oh my gosh,
I
spoke to the chief rabbi today.
They still exist?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
They're in Edgware.
They're in England also?
Edgware.
Wow.
Yeah.
The chief rabbi's in Karaite?
Basically, I was at a chemist with my dad, and I was like, Dad, that woman's wearing,
oh my gosh.
And then, like, poor her, because me and my dad are basically the same person, and we're both very, like, verbally, like, aggressive when it comes to people like this. So, uh-huh. And she was just as bad, but, like, we had a whole
bunch of people like
this.
Off.
Oh my gosh.
She's a Jew. Everyone in the room was Jewish, thank goodness.
Wow.
But, like, yeah.
Wow. Okay, we're all doing it right, Talia.
Crazy. All right. So you have Karaites. The ones I was thinking of was the Reform Jews. I mean, the Reform Jews basically said...
The Reform Jews don't even keep 1 day.
They don't
count. That's true. But the ones that keep 1 day say we only keep 1 day, we don't keep 2 days.
Reform Jews.
Okay.
It's basically Christianity.
Right. No. There's no... Yes. Okay. So Reform... But understand what they did. The Reform Jews basically said that once the reason doesn't apply anymore... we get rid of the halacha. I mean, it wasn't like they made it up. They actually had a good logic here. The question is, why do we still keep 2 days in Chutz La'aretz? Okay, what's the reason? So the answer is, if you look at source number 3, okay, the Gemara says, now that we know when the moon is established, meaning we know when Rosh Chodesh is, we know which dates they are, my time of din and treyome, why, what is the reason why we keep 2 days? And the answer is, mishum deshalchu mitam, because they sent the message from Eretz Yisrael saying the following, you should be careful to keep the custom of your ancestors, of your forefathers, in your hands as well. Sometimes it could be that the king, the government, is going to decree anti-Jewish decrees and not let them calculate the new moon or whatever it is, and they're going to lose track of the calendar, they're not going to know what day it is, and we're going to have problems. So therefore, because of that, the custom, basically, they said that you always need to be careful to keep the custom of your forefathers yourself as well, and therefore you need to keep 2 days in Chutz La'aretz. Now this is very interesting, okay, because today, when was the last time that the government didn't let Jews calculate the Rosh Chodesh? Is that practical today? The answer is no, but sort of, okay? In the Holocaust, did the Jews have the right to calculate days? It was really tough for them. In the Holocaust, they really didn't know which day it was. Some of them did, and they kept it, but I'm saying it wasn't so simple. It was actually quite difficult for them to know when the calendar was. They couldn't write. They had nothing to, you know, how are they going to figure it out?
What if your ancestors were from Israel?
Oh, what it means is that when you are in the diaspora, you should always keep the custom of the diaspora, and the custom in the diaspora, at least according to the Ritva, or according to the Rambam, the custom in the places where it was too far to get the messengers there in time, the custom was to keep 2 days. Okay? So this is what it's based on, okay? Meaning it says basically we keep, not because we need to logically, we don't need to logically, but because they sent the message, they basically said that Jews in the diaspora should keep the custom of their ancestors and always keep 2 days. And that is what we do today. Okay? Everybody understand that? Mm-hmm. So basically what we're doing here is we're saying, yeah, you're right, logically it doesn't really, we don't really need to anymore, but because we basically are we're authoritating, or whatever the word is, verifying, the power of the earlier rabbis basically said that this is a custom that we want you to keep, and we are going to show that we are committed not just to biblical Judaism, but also to rabbinic Judaism. Okay, that's what this is all about. And therefore, based on that, by the way, you should know that some of the Hasidic leader, you know, the Hasidic rabbis say there's like a special, you know, whatever special divine inspiration exists on Yom Tov. They say in the diaspora, it exists on the second day of Yom Tov as well, even though it may not be necessary anymore logically. But once the rule is to keep it, it's Yom Tov, and that's it. We treat it as Yom Tov. We do this, we do that. It's special. We eat, you know, everything. It's great. Okay? Everybody with me so far? Okay. So now what's the next step? What's the next step, guys? Once we know that, the question then becomes, okay, in somebody who lives in the diaspora but comes to visit Israel, what should they do? Okay, I mean, what should they keep? Should they keep 1 day or 2 days? Everybody got the next step now? Mm-hmm. Are you guys still with me? Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. So, what's the answer? What do you think?
I think
1. Why?
Because you're not in Chutz-Laretz. You're in Israel.
Go on, and therefore?
And the rule is that in Chutz-Laretz you keep 2 days.
Okay.
Not if you're from Chutz-Laretz but happen to be in Israel, you still keep 2 days.
Okay.
That's not where you are.
Okay. So, Tai wants to say that the rule is that it's not based on where your ancestors came from. Meaning it's not, oh, well, your ancestors, you know, lived in Chutz Laretz, so therefore you should keep 2 days wherever you go. Rather, it depends on where you are. Okay, if you are in Israel, then you go by the people that used to live there. They keep 1 day. If you're in Chutz Laretz, then you go by the people that live there. But if you're from Chutz Laretz and you visit Israel, you don't go based on your ancestors that didn't live in Israel. You go based on what they do in Israel. Okay. Anybody disagree? May anybody know what the basis for the other side is? There's a big, a very strong basis for the other side. Anybody know what it is? Okay. You want to see? Want to find out? Let's go for it. Okay.
I don't have to find out. I'm a girl.
Your girl? That is not the right answer. This is practical halacha. This you do need to find out.
This
is practical halacha. You got to know this. I mean, maybe you just have to know the bottom line, but it's.
Well, I just need to look at the calendar.
Okay.
I can find it.
And that one. All right.
Kidding.
Number 4. So look at the Avkat Rochel. Okay, the Avkat Rochel was written by the author of the Shulchan Aruch, Yosef Karo. Okay. What?
Oh, yeah, we were there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you went there. Awesome. Perfect.
Yeah, we got it. Sick.
Perfect.
It was so cool. Him and the Mahdi.
So the Avkat Rochel is the Yosef Karo. That's what his sefer was called, the Shalat Shuot sefer. Look at what he says here. She'ela hayotim eretz Yisrael l'chutz laretz v'dato lachzor im mitpalak evnei eretz Yisrael v'tam lama ha'olim l'regel mitpalim v'parhesya. He has two parts to the question here. Question number 1 is, if you leave Israel to go to Chutz Laretz and you plan on coming back, what do you do on the second day of Yom Tov? And the second question is, why do people that come from Chutz Laretz to Israel on Yom Tov, why do they daven publicly, okay, a second day Yom Tov, why do they daven a second day Yom Tov davening in public and nobody protests? Now, what does that mean? The second part of his question, what does that mean people are doing at his time? The second part of his question, Tam Lama Ha'olim L'Regel, why do those that go up for Regel, meaning basically those that come to Israel during the holidays? Source number 4, first line. Mitpa'alim D'Parhesya, they daven in public shuls, Kivnei Chutz Laretz, like people in Chutz Laretz, meaning on the second day they will daven a Chutz Laretz at Yom Tov thing, not a Chol HaMoed davening. They ain't looking, nobody protests. What does that mean people were doing in his time?
Wait,
what is that? Nobody protested the fact that the visitors to Israel on Yom Tov apparently davened the second. They basically kept the second day, and they davened the second day davening in public. Everybody could see them. They went to the Lorum Hotel. They went to the David Citadel. Okay, in public, in the lobby. Okay, they went and they had a big minyan there, and people, Israelis, walked in. Oh, that's nice. Good Yom Tov. Very nice. Beautiful. Nobody says, what are you doing? Stop this right now. You've got to be here. You're a, you know, they didn't say that. What does that mean people were doing? It sounds like people were keeping how many days?
Two days.
Sounds
like
it. No, no, no. People that were the visitors.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
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 You understand what's happening? Again, when did the Rav Yosef Karo live? You guys should know this now. When did he live? Which time, which century, or whatever? I don't remember.
I'm really out of date.
All right. It was basically the 16th century.
Yeah.
Okay, meaning late 1400s, early 1500s.
Yeah.
Yes, where did he live? A lot of time in Israel? Where did he live? You guys know?
In
Tzfat.
Yeah.
Okay, so imagine he's talking about Tzfat here. He's talking about the old city of Tzfat, probably. And people that came to visit and they're keeping. What? What'd you
say? Nothing.
Okay. So he wants to know, why are they keeping 2 days? Now, again, what does this also show you, by the way? Okay, does it show you that were there visitors to Israel on Yom Tov during the medieval period?
Yeah.
There were. Okay, I mean, you know, today is obviously more. Even in the medieval period, there were actually a lot of visitors to Israel. Okay, the people came for Yom Tov. You know, Aliyah L'Regel. It's not, you know, there's no Beis HaMikdash, but they still came. But yet they're keeping 2 days. So what do you think he's going to say? What are the two options of what he might say? Either he's going to say what they're doing is wrong, or he's going to say that what they're doing is
right.
Right. Which one do you think it's going to be?
That what they're doing is right.
Maybe. Okay. Let's look. Let's look. Tshuva. Okay, the answer in the third line. He says, Davar Pashatu. Okay, it's obvious. Techol Shadato Lachsur. Noeg Kemakom Shayatsa Misham. Afilu Lahakel. Can anybody figure out what that means?
Yeah. Oh, man, he's saying it's very simple that anybody, like everybody has to do it according to the place that they came from.
Ah, meaning anybody who plans, who lives in Chutz Laretz, who lives in London, who lives in New Jersey or Great Neck or wherever, okay, anybody who lives in Johannesburg or wherever else, okay, and plans to go back there after Yom Tov. So, what is his practice supposed to be? He bases his practice based on the place where he comes from, okay, meaning it's an issue of minak hamakom, but based on where you live, okay? If you live in a place and you go visit somewhere else, you continue to keep the practices of the place where you come from. And he says here, afilu l'chel, even to be more lenient, okay, which is very, very interesting. Afilu shalo az vilvat shalo yas bifnei bnei makom shalach l'sham. However, he says, don't do it in front of the local residents. I mean, when you're in Israel, don't keep Yom Tov in front of the Israelis. Where should you go to keep Yom Tov?
In the
underground. Right. Go to the basement of the lower hotel.
Oh, really?
Don't do it in the lobby. I'm saying that because they actually have a second day minion in the basement of the lower hotel. That's where
that's
the second day minion is.
That's funny because they do the same thing with like Israelis who visit America and are keeping one day that they can't do it publicly.
So there it's also more complicated because in America or in Chutz Laretz, basically it's also what's called a zilzul. It's a degradation. It's a degradation to Yom Tov for somebody to do you know to keep it a chol. So basically, in Chutz Laretz, we would say even if you keep one day, you can't do malacha in most places in Chutz Laretz because we don't want people to get the wrong idea. Okay, when they see that you know Israeli is like you know turning on the light and they'd be like, this is our Yom Tov, and oh, it's only a second day, it's not so important, we don't need it anymore. We should do the same thing. We don't want to get rid of the second day. You know, so that's why Israelis have to be very careful.
Like
it doesn't matter. Still,
no, that's why they say don't do it in public.
Right. No, but not even in private. Even in private, you're not supposed to do it.
But if your cousins are at your house,
most poskim hold that even in private, you're not supposed to do it. Not all poskim, but most poskim hold that in private.
But then they don't care about other minyan.
No, so you can go. They say you can go to shul. You go to shul.
And daven.
Yeah, maybe if you put on tefillin, don't put on tefillin.
Basically.
Right, but don't, let's see, you don't have to make kiddush.
Don't do halakha and
exactly, not right. Exactly,
so
don't do right, correct. Correct.
So
yeah. Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Isn't that 1.5 days? No.
Not exactly. It's sort of similar, but it's a flip, because that's talking about Israelis and Chutz Laretz.
Yeah.
You're talking about, you know, a diaspora visitors in Israel. Okay, anyway, so he says, don't do it in public. Okay, and then he says, k'moshu mevur barosh perak makom shenagu perak kamo dechulim, whatever it is. Okay, the Rosh in the Gemara and Pesachim basically has this idea that based on the place where you come from, you continue to keep those customs of that place as long as you're going back there. Then he says, v'kemo chakain, since that's the case, hadavar pashut mevur, it's clear and explained, shelo olam, always, kol shadatso lachsor, any time that you plan on going back to the place where you came from, we treat you as if you're still in the place where you come from. L'chol davar, for every aspect. So you are still considered to be a diaspora Jew, according to Rav Yosef Karo, if you are in Israel and you're planning on going back right after Yom Tov.
Okay, wait. We're talking about, let's say, Pesach, so there's also Chol Moed. So you're not here for all of Pesach. You're here for 2 days of Yom
Kippur. Let's say the whole year for you here for the whole Pesach. So the first day you keep a second day, and for the last day you keep an eighth day, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he seems to say. And then he continues. He says also.
So the Shulchan Aruch is saying that if you're from outside of Israel, you continue to be as if you're outside from Israel, and you keep 2 days.
That's what it sounds like. Absolutely, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Again, it's not in the Shulchan Aruch; it's in his book of responsive literature, the Shilas of Jews, Avkad Rochel. In the Shulchan Aruch, does he quote this? He doesn't. But he doesn't say the opposite either. He doesn't quote anything in the Shulchan Aruch. We don't know. That's the problem. Most people assume that for whatever reason. What
they're so vague. Like, I don't understand.
You're right. No. So this is very clear. This is black on white clear. The only question they have is why didn't he write it in the Shulchan Aruch? Also, it's the only question they have. So they give different answers why he didn't write it there. But most people assume if he writes it so clearly here, then probably this is what he holds. Okay, it's very black on white here. It's very obvious. He can skip a couple lines, and then he says the second paragraph after the three dots. He says, "V'chein masim b'chul yom, b'chol shana v'shana." This is done every day, meaning every year. Olim l'shalosh regalim. People come from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, La'aretz osim l'sheni shal galus, and they keep a second day. Kitikuna v'chol shana v'chol. Exactly as they would do in London, exactly as they would do in Sydney, exactly as they would do in Los Angeles, whatever it is. Same thing. V'lo od el shemis kamsim yom b'nei Chutz La'aretz. Not only that, they have minyanim. They have second day minyan. They daven Shmona Esrei of Shmona of Yom Tov Korban B'Torah. They read the Torah reading of Yom Tov Maftir Menavi. They do the Haftorah. Bivrachos with brachos. Kmoshe Osim Yom Tov Sheinu Chutz La'aretz, etc. etc. Look at this. V'davar Zen Nasa Mimei Kedem. This thing was done for a long time, meaning for many years previously. B'fnei Gedoli Olam, in front of great rabbis. V'lo Pikmik Adam V'davar Zem Yolam, and nobody ever protested. Okay. Etc. etc. We're not going to read the rest of it, but basically, this is in the middle of source four still. Okay, we're still in the middle of source four. I'm not going to read the rest of it inside, but basically, okay, what he says is that this was done for a long time and nobody protested. What does that mean? It means that really, if you're visiting from Chutz La'aretz in Israel, you should keep 2 days because that is your practice. If you still live in Chutz La'aretz, that is your custom, and you should keep your custom. Okay, why? Because the second day of Yom Tov to begin with is based on what? The custom of your forefathers is what you should keep. So therefore he says here, as long as you're still living in Chutz La'aretz, your customs follow the ancestors in Chutz La'aretz, even if you're not there right now, but as long as you're living there. You understand? Okay. Everybody have a question? Everybody have any questions? Okay, we didn't finish it, obviously, but this is what the Shulchan Aruch, the Rav Yosef Karo clearly says this in this book here. Yeah. Good question. It doesn't matter. If you're living in the diaspora, then you keep 2 days according to his opinion when you come to Israel. Okay? In the Shulchan Aruch, look at the Shulchan Aruch here in source number 5. Okay? It says, B'nei Eretz Yisrael Shebo L'Chutz La'aretz. If you have an Israeli that goes to the diaspora, okay, you know what they do there? They go on Shlichut in the diaspora. And Shlichut starts with 1 year, then it becomes 2 years, then it becomes 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. 10 years later, I'm still on Shlichut. You guys know about this?
Yeah.
Not everybody does, obviously, but there are some people that, like it in America and other countries, you know, and they say, we're still on Shlichut 10 years later. Are they really? Not sure. Gotta ask them. Could be they are. Depends on what they're doing. But you have to be careful about that. Anyway, the Shulchan Aruch says, those that go to Chutz La'aretz from Israel. Asur Masos Malacha Yom Tov Sheni Ve'Yishuv. You're not allowed to do Malacha on the second day of Yom Tov in the Jewish community. Okay? Afilu Dato Lasser, even if you plan on going back to Israel. Anyway. Okay. Afilu Dato Lasser, even if you plan to go back to Israel. However, if you're not in the Jewish community, let's say you go to, give me a place of a non-Jewish community without any Jews in the diaspora somewhere.
Chabad have found themselves.
No, there's some places even Chabad hasn't found yet.
No,
okay,
no,
give me a name. I don't know. A name of any, some place. Okay.
Place where? Like
some place that there's no Jews in the whole town.
Stoke New
where?
Well, there probably is a Jew.
There's a Chabad house there.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. Brighton,
there's
no
Jews in Brighton.
Probably do. Yeah, you can have a ton of them, right?
Huh?
Okay.
There's Jews everywhere.
No, not every single town.
There's
some.
Kind
of like, yeah, in the United States at least, though, the Midwest, there's all these hardcore.
Oh,
Montana, that's good. They actually were trying to build a mikvah in Idaho, I think.
Hey, there
recently.
You go. Kari.
Okay, great. There's no Jews.
I already said Montana, but it's fine.
Okay. It's fine. Same thing. Can you do malacha?
Yeah.
If you happen to be, if you go on business to Montana or Curry, what's it called? Curry,
no,
Australia.
I was watching the
interview. Can you do malacha on Yom Tov Sheni if you're Israeli?
Yeah.
The answer is yes. Why? Because the Shulchan Aruch holds is based on where you come from. Okay, the only problem is if you're in the Jewish community, it's not nice to turn on lights and turn on your computer and surf the internet on a day when everybody else is keeping Yom Tov. Okay, but if you're not in the Jewish community, it's fine.
In your hotel room, there's no Jews around. Nobody's missing you on the computer.
Could be. Maybe it's okay in that case. Not so simple. We're not going to go into it now. It could be.
Israelis come up to me on like second day and say hug somebody and then walk away on their phone.
That's not okay. It's not okay. It's really not okay.
My friend drives to my house.
Tell them they need to ask their rabbi before they do that. Okay. Yes, they can make fun of you because you stole the chuzos and they're Israeli. Yes, they're fine. Aliyah is very important. Sion Zionism is very important. But the bottom line is they need to ask their rabbi because most people.
I have a family friend that drives to our house. Given they're not so from.
Okay, they're not from. That's what
given
do you expect?
They're not too from.
Yeah.
But
okay, but again, Israelis are bound by halacha as well, and it's clear in the Shulchan Aruch.
They don't drive.
And most, almost all posts can say.
They don't drive on the first day. They don't
drive. I understand. Yeah. Almost all posts can hold that. Israeli. Certainly in public and maybe even in private, you can't do malacha on the second day, even if you're Israeli. Okay. Anyway, the Shulchan Aruch only quotes this case. He does not mention the case of visiting Israel. He leaves it out. But comes along the Mishnah Brura. You've all heard of the Mishnah Brura, right? Number six. What does he say? Uven chutzlar shabel eretz Yisrael. Okay. What about a diaspora Jew that comes to Israel? Im dato lachzor lemakomo tzarach lasa shnei yom tovim. You got to do 2 days of Yom Tov. Okay. But he says the tefillah Yom Tov tzarach lipal beveto. The davening you should do privately, meaning don't go to the regular shul and do a big public, second day Yom Tov, do it in a private place. Okay?
It's not possible to find a venue for second day
Yom Tov. You can, it depends where you are. You can, but usually they don't have it like in the main shul, they have it like in a downstairs or somewhere different, a little bit more of a private place.
Are we talking
place.
About Israel again?
Yes. So my point is, what did the Mishnah Brura say here? The Mishnah Brura quoted which psak? For the Mishnah Brura quoted for second day Yom Tov in Israel, he quoted Rav Yosef Karo. Okay, the Mishnah Brura is very widely accepted, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, and let me tell you, almost all the other posts came up till the time of the Mishnah Brura, including the Magen Avraham, the Aruch HaShulchan, all the other Taz, almost all the other posts can basically say like this, that you keep how many days in Israel if you're visiting?
Yeah.
2 days. Ugh. Beautiful. Well, we didn't finish yet, okay? We're not done. Don't worry, we still have more time, right? Okay, so now the question is like this. Where in the world does one day come from? How many people here keep 1 day? Raise your hands. Don't be bashful. We're missing
no,
one.
It's not Rachel,
you keep 1 day? You keep 1 day? If you're
here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so all of you keep 1 day. Mm-hmm. I guess I gotta raise my hand also because I live here. So. Alright. So guys, explain to me, okay, what's going on here? How can you all keep 1 day if the Rav Yosef Karo and the Mishnah Brura and most other posts in between said that you keep 2 days? Give out! What do you do?
My rabbi told us.
Your rabbi told you, where did he get it from?
Wait, I didn't finish.
I'm sorry, you're
out. Just
yeah.
My rabbi told us that if we were coming to visit, if we weren't here for the entire mm-hmm. year, then we would keep 2 days.
Okay.
But since I live here this yeah. year and I'm oh. here for the entire Chag, this is where this is my residency right now.
Yeah, someone said to me you've got a visa, you've got this, you've got that, you're basically a citizen.
This is my residency.
This is your residency for the year.
Okay.
So
there is something to that. We'll see in a few minutes when we read the English article. We'll see there is something to that. The reason why that's not so simple, I'm not saying it's wrong, I'm just saying the reason why it's not so simple is according to the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Brura, what is it based on? Is it based on how long you're there for? Or is it based on your mind, your intention, your mentality?
Your
intention. It sounds from their sources, again, I'm not saying you're wrong, we'll see in a minute what you're saying is based on, but from the sources we saw until now, it sounds like it's not based on how long you're there for, it sounds like it's based on your intention. And if you're in Israel, as long as you're planning on going back, even if it takes you a year to get back there, it sounds like you're still considered to be a diaspora Jew. Okay, now if you really live here, I'll give you the flip side of this, which is interesting. We're not going to go into this now. But if you're here, maybe. Actually, I take that back. Not a good example. This is maybe other things that, people in Israel, we keep Chal of Yisrael here. So maybe you should keep Chal of Yisrael here for the year because you're living in Israel. For that, I don't think anybody wants to listen to me about that. But again, it's not so simple because Israelis also, there's no, the real milk here is Chal of Yisrael. It's all Chal of Yisrael. But the question is the products. Whatever, we're not going to go into that now. Kasher, we talked about that a little bit. But anyway, so the question is, if it's based on mentality, then it doesn't really make sense for you to keep 1 day, even if you're here for the year, correct?
Yeah.
So now what you need to do is basically go a little bit farther and try to give, to fix up that explanation a little more and try to figure out who in the halakha literature came up with this idea of 1 day. Okay, meaning it's a big deal. It's not such a simple thing to go against Rav Yosef Karo and to go against the Mishnah Brura and many other poskim are considered to be our normal standard poskim that we follow, correct? Okay, by the way, Rav Moshe Feinstein also says the same thing. Okay, it's in source number 8. Source number 8.
He says
okay.
2 days?
Yeah. Here, I'll read it here. It's actually important for what we just said. Let's read source number 8, okay, before we go back to source number 7. Ready, guys? You guys all know who Rav Moshe Feinstein is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Look at this case. B'vachar shenasa mechut l'aret Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the topic is a bachar, okay, a yeshiva boy who traveled to Israel to learn l'lmod, who somech al shulchan aviv, okay, his parents basically still pay for him. Shemechut l'aret, they're still supporting him. Ma'alakom yudhi morin harav asher zelig Rubenstein shlita. Okay, Rav Rubenstein, by the way, is still alive today. Rav Rubenstein is actually the head of a yeshiva here in Israel. He's American. He's the head of a, you wouldn't have heard of it. It's called Torah Simcha, I think. Okay, it's a more Haredi yeshiva. So he was the one who asked Rav Moshe this shaila. All right. Basically, Rav Rubenstein learned here for a number of years. Okay. I think he learned in the Mir, and I forgot where else. He was here for a number of years. I've actually heard him speak a couple times. So look at the case. How long was he learning for in yeshiva? Not just 1 year program. He was on the 3 year program. The Chazar to Lakan. Okay. He came back to Chutz-Lartz for a little while to visit his parents. And he wants to go back and make Aliyah in Israel. He's not sure yet. Okay. He says, okay, how many days of Yom Tov should he keep in Chutzlar, in Eretz Israel? How many days? So according to what you guys told me, how many days would you say he should keep? You would have said he should keep one. He's there for 3 years, for goodness sakes, right? If that's not considered to be an Israeli, what is?
Because his intention to...
Ah, Rav Moshe says, but wait 1 second. He says, Hinei pashat lani atati. Not that I think, because it's obvious to me. To afios chab Eretz Yisrael, that even when you're in Israel, hayalacha din ben chutz laretz, you have the status of a diaspora Jew. Wow. Kimifurish b'simon tav sanaches, Magen Avram, as the Magen Avram says, to vachrim halom din b'yeshiva, that bachrim that come to learn in yeshiva, mikri datum lachzor, it's considered to be as if they plan to go back to their original place. Okay, this is an important point, by the way, which I didn't quote on the source sheet, but it's quoted in Rav Moshe here. The Magen Avraham basically says, not about Yom Tov, but in general, he says about other things, that a bachar who comes to learn yeshiva for the year is still treated as if he, based on the place where he comes from. He's called intending to go back. You understand? Even though he's there for a long period of time. So Rav Moshe says, the Magen Avraham says that, that's a very important parish. He says, he came for 2 or 3 years. He's on the 3-year program. Shana Bet, Shana Gil. Who could beat that, right? You guys don't even have a Shana Gil Shana Bet program here, right?
They're working on it.
They're working on it. Okay, Bezrat Hashem. One day, Bezrat Hashem. Maybe you guys will be the first. Right? He says, Umashachlata beyot Hashem lishar lagur sham. Okay, the fact that you decided I'm going to live in Israel, Eino klum, means absolutely nothing. Kol zman shata rok v'arecha darim v'kan v'America. As long as you don't have money, meaning you're being supported by your parents, and your parents live in America, you're not considered to be a Ben Eretz Yisrael, even if you say, I'm planning to live in Israel. You showed us that you came back to America for a short visit, maybe even a longer visit. You don't know when you're going back exactly. Today also, people, you know, they say, I'm making Aliyah, but they go back to college first in America. Who knows what's going to happen during those 3 years in between, or again, for other countries, wherever you come from, for England and Australia, whatever, same thing. Okay, you might say I'm making Aliyah, but it's not happening quite yet. Okay, so in many cases, that's not necessarily so clear cut. So to say you keep 1 day, he says, I don't know about that. Okay? Basically, I'm not going to read the rest of this inside, but basically what he says, that you basically have din chutz laretz, and you have to keep Yom Tov Sheni in chutz laretz. Okay? Rasha Rubenstein, basically, I think he spent 10 years in the Mir, I think, after that. I think this is his 3rd year, I think he spent 10 years there, apparently, from what I was told. The entire time, even after he made Aliyah, he got an Israeli, you know, two dots a hood, whatever, from what I was told, I think the entire time he still kept 2 days. Moshe gave him the psalm like this, which is so harif, it was very strong, he kept 2 days. So guys, Moshe would say, in your case, clearly, even if you're learning here for a year, how many days do you keep?
Yeah.
2 days. Mm-hmm. So again, the pressure mounts. Okay, where did you all come up with this idea of keeping 1 day? So, let's see. Okay, there is at least one opinion, and probably a few opinions, but at least one major opinion that did say that you should keep 1 day. Okay, the question is, who was it, and what was his logic? Anybody know?
I'll tell you now.
Okay, you'll tell me now, that's right. So all that I ask you come out of this class is the following. Okay, I ask that when you leave here, okay, I have no problem with you continuing to keep 1 day. Okay, if you're keeping 1 day, you got a proper rabbinic psak. Okay, there obviously is a legitimate opinion like that, but you need to know where it comes from, and you got to know who said it. Okay, you must know who the original person who said it was. Okay, that you must know. Let's see who it is. It's in source number 7. What's his name? The Chacham Tzvi. Okay, that was the name of his tshuvas. His name was Rav Tzvi Ashkenazi, known as the Chacham Tzvi. He lived in...
Ashkenazi means that he was actually...
That's correct. Very good, Jordana. You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah.
Excellent. You're right. He lived, I think, in Amsterdam, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
He lived in a few places, but he was a little bit controversial. But a lot of his life he lived in Amsterdam. He was a rav in Amsterdam and Holland, and he discusses this question. Okay, let's see what he says. Shalta b'nei chutz laretz olim l'eretz Yisrael derech harai. diaspora Jews that come to visit Israel temporarily. How should they act during three, the Shalosh Regalim? Which one should they do? Ready? Okay. Let's see what he says. He says, Tshuva, here's the answer. Nir la nir dati, that's that Rosh Hashanah there, means it seems to me, in my humble opinion, it seems to me that how should they conduct themselves? Like who? Like one of the Bnei Eretz Yisrael HaToshavim. Who's that? Israelis, right? It means you should act like the Israelis. Okay, he says this is not included in the same category as the Rav Yosef Karo. Rav Yosef Karo says there's a principle in the Gemara that if you come from a place where they have different rules and you're visiting, you have to keep the rules of the place where you come from, as long as it's not in public. But in private, he says you keep the rules of the place where you come from because you're still considered to be a resident of that place. But the Chacham Tzvi says that's not relevant here. He says this case is different. It's not included. Why not? So let's keep reading. Lo mi babet tfilos hu brachos kriya sefer Torah she'en on chumras b'etzem. It's not a chumras. She'en ba l'hachmer l'varech li'es palal tzilas ha'mo'adim izman she'en ha'mo'ed ha'ver hi b'yado. Let me ask you a question, guys. Okay, are you allowed to make a bracha, let's say on Kiddush, or a bracha on the Haf Torah, or on the Kriyas HaTorah, if it's not Yom Tov? Are you allowed to do that?
No.
No, you're not allowed to do that. What problem is that? It's a violation of which Avera? Anybody know what it's called?
Good,
bracha l'Atala, or Baal Tosef. You can't just do whatever you want.
Yes.
What? Okay, so really, both certainly bracha l'Atala is number one, and Baal Tosef, you're adding a day. So how in the world can, fine, it's very nice to say that, you know, you should keep the practices, the customs of the place where you come from, but is making a bracha a custom?
No.
Or a halacha?
Halacha.
It's halacha. Does halacha change? Is there a halacha change based on where you come from, where you go?
No.
Not in that way. The customs might change, but making a bracha is a real halacha. And therefore, to make a bracha for chutzlar, it's in Eretz Yisrael, he says, is a bracha l'Atala in violation of Baal Tosef. He says, you can't do that. Not okay.
That's really intense.
He says that's different than just saying, oh, well, I'm not going to do malacha. Says, but they're making brachas, because you can't do that. He says that for sure is not a question. Obviously, you don't make the brachas of Yom Tov Sheni. That for sure you don't do. Okay? He says it's an aveira to daven, the Yom Tov davening, in a time when it's not Yom Tov. Ella, continue in the third line, Ella filu b'malacha. But even to do malacha, mutarmim. Says a ben chutzlar can turn on the light, can drive in a car, do whatever else, malacha in Israel on Yom Tov Sheni. Why? Let's see what he says. She'ilu hayukon she'am makom she'yatsu misham kan v'kviyusa. Let's say that the entire population of New York made Aliyah. Okay, they all made Aliyah. Let's say all the Jews in the diaspora made Aliyah. Okay, I'm hoping it's going to happen one day. It might take some time, but you guys can start us off. Okay? We need more here in Israel. Okay, let's say that everybody made Aliyah. Okay, we hope so. Bezrat Hashem. It's starting, but very slowly. We need to go faster. He says, but so if everybody would come to live here, can you make Aliyah? If you make Aliyah here, can you keep 2 days, even if you want to? Let's say you're like me, okay? No. When I made Aliyah, by the way, I really missed the second day. I really liked the Yom Tov. I enjoyed Yom Tov Sheni. I enjoyed, you know, go to school. I enjoyed having good food and davening and singing and everything. I really enjoyed it.
You
say?
I love Yom Tov Sheni.
Okay, great. I'm not saying...
My grandma loves it.
I mean, it's great.
Shabbat,
it's really nice. It's just the perfect... It's a lot
except
of cooking to do.
When it goes into
Shabbos. All right.
The worst of Thursday, Friday, Shabbat.
And then you literally have meat coming out of your nose.
No, Thursday, Friday, Shabbat is way better than Shabbat, Sunday, Monday. You don't even get a day.
All right, so.